and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship Monday Night Men and Women's Bible Study. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join us now as we begin our message.
Father, would you just come before you, my God, and Lord, we thank you, Father, for you are the King of Kings, and you are worthy of all our praises, Lord God. Father, we as a women, we come before you, Lord God, and we pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to receive, Lord God, what your Spirit is speaking to our heart, Lord God. Father, we go through so many things in our daily life, Lord God, and Lord, we need you, Jesus. Father, as you put it in my heart, Father, that it is your word is so true, Lord God. Your presence is what we need to experience. So, Lord God, I pray your Holy Spirit visit us tonight, Lord God, by your presence and by your glory, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, we're in chapters 12 of John. And this was, remember back in chapter 11, the last time we got together, there was some amazing, one of the greatest miracles ever recorded, and that was the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And it ended there in chapter 7 with actually a plot of by the Jews to overtake Jesus and to somehow put him to death. And now we're starting in chapter 12, and we're going to go from verse 1 through verses 3 first, okay? Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So again, this is happening 6 days before the Passover. And Jesus had arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And also, Lazarus was dead, not just dead for one day. He had been dead for 4 days in the tomb with the stench of death on his body. But the Lord manifested his glory, the glory of God, in this one of the greatest miracles. Here at dinner, this dinner was given in honor of Jesus. Martha was serving while Lazarus was among those who sat at the table. They were in the home of Simon, who was actually a leper. But some commentaries believe that Simon was most likely was healed by Jesus, because if he hadn't been healed, he would have been unceremoniously unclean to host this event. So this is a private dinner with Jesus and his closest friends as guests. As they were at the table, Mary took a pound of pure spikenard, and this is an expensive perfume, as she poured it on Jesus' head. And other scriptures speak about that, that it was only just poured on his feet, but it was also poured from the top of his head and manifested all the way to the down of his feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. So I wanted to look at this act. It's an act of worship, and I got a commentary from Ray Stedman, and I wanted to take a little closer look at that. This act of worship, we see that Mary, who took a pound of imported perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet. Nard is a costly perfume derived from the aromatic resin of a special plant, which at that time grew only in India. In today's inflated terms, this ointment would have been worth perhaps $10,000, which is why we see later that Judas complained about Mary's extravagance in pouring out the equivalent of a year's wages to anoint the feet of Jesus. And so we think, well, they ask, where did this perfume come from? Some commentaries speculate that Mary belonged to a wealthy family and could easily afford such a lavish expenditures. Others suggest that Mary might have received the ointment as a gift, that it was a precious keepsake that she may have kept for many years, perhaps in anticipation of her wedding day. The nard was sealed in an alabaster jar and could not be released without breaking the neck of the jar. So the only way they can break it was to literally break it in half. And I know there's a lot of essential oils that you have to do the same thing too. And Mary did so and poured the entire pound of perfume over Jesus until the fragrance filled the whole house. According to the other gospel accounts, she anointed his head first, and then the ointment ran down until it covered his feet. And she unbound her hair and used it to sponge off the excess ointment. And as you look at this, in this time during this culture, first of all, for Mary to be even at this table with the group of men was, in that culture, not done, because they weren't her family. They were friends. They were disciples, but they were brothers in the Lord. But this was a very, something that wasn't done. It wasn't part of their custom for her to even let her hair down and express that. It was as if Mary didn't care what she looked like when she worshiped, when she did this. She did this out of her heart as an act of worship. So I come and I'm thinking, well, what brought her to that place? Mary had seen her brother rise from the dead. And remember, in chapter 11, we seen that she was one of those that mourned and grieved for her brother. Her brother had been dead for 4 days, and she was grieving, and they had other people that were grieving with her. And when Jesus came, she was in such grief, I believe, that she it was Martha that ran out to look for Jesus, and after that, then she was told that to come and meet Jesus. Then she went. So I think she was such in grief that she was just at her brother's side and grieving at that time. So, and then also that she also was a woman who sat at the Lord's feet. And this was a woman who knew the Lord, who had seen miracles that he had done. She was a woman in need of Jesus. And right here it says that Mary understood the work of Jesus and that the change he made in her heart. She was grateful to Jesus for the richness and blessings he brought to her life, not only in restoring her life, but also her brother's life. And in that last life-transforming teaching, she has heard from him also while she sat at his feet. And so I believe that this extravagant love that she showed was why she, it didn't matter how expensive to her that bottle of spikenard oil was. To her, it was the best that she had. And sometimes when we've been delivered from an amazing thing, like something in our life that was once dead, now brought to life, you can imagine how radically she would have been grateful for. And so, you know, I wanted to take a look at, there's been several times where in the Gospels, not just the Gospels, but also in the Old Testament, where God is able to bring dead things to life. So I want to take a look at the scriptures in Ezekiel. I'm losing my notes here, going over too fast. Sorry, ladies. In Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, talks about the dry bones that that the Lord commanded Ezekiel to speak to. And sometimes we got some dead, dry things in our life that we need the Lord to bring to life again. And so I just really felt led to share the scriptures. And right there, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 starts. Then the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. So these bones were dry and old. They were out there. And so the Lord answered, O Lord God, he asks him, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to those bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied, and as they commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise and suddenly rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon you, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So he said to me, prophesy that the breath, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, because they were slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied, and as they commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. I just love that, because you know what? That sometimes we're in those places where we have dry bones, and in the fact of spiritual bones, I'm not talking physically, like right now in the flesh, but spiritually, sometimes things that we hoped for, you know, are dead, or something that, you know, maybe our worship is dead, or maybe our faith has become dead, or maybe we're hoping for something and it hasn't come to pass, and you're praying for something and you don't see a hope in the circumstance or the situation. Well, you know what? God right here clearly says that he has the ability to bring life that which was dead, and he did that for Lazarus as well. And I just was really blown away by that, and how we have the power of the resurrection Holy Spirit in us, so we too can be manifest life by the Spirit of God. So whatever we're going through, whatever we need to be faith, we need faith to be stirred up within us. The Lord has the ability to do that by His Spirit. So I just, that really took me to that verse, as far as how, when I'm thinking about Mary and how grateful she was, it was not only the manifestation of her brother's life being brought back, but her life, a new life in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we forget what the Lord has done for us. And I think a lot of times when we think about going to worship, we need to have that heart that Mary had. We need to have that heart of thankfulness for what the Lord has given us, and how much he loves us, and how he really desires to be loved in such a way. Because remember, in we're looking at verse 7, when we go on to verse 4, it says, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was in it. So Jesus replied and said, let her alone. She has kept this day for the day. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but you do not have always. And in Matthew, it actually talks about how Jesus was blessed. It was a beautiful thing that Mary did. It was a beautiful thing that she blessed the Lord with her worship. It was her heart of love for the Lord that she expressed. And the Lord was blessed by it. And sometimes, you know, we need to be able to do that. Not sometimes. We should do that at all times. We should be a people or women that are grateful. And when we are in the midst of worship, we're not thinking about, I know a lot of times we can think we're here praying, or some weird thought will come in our mind, or even in the midst of worship, you know, our mind will go off and wander. Okay, what do I need to make for dinner tonight? Or what do I need to, I think I forgot to take something out of the freezer. You know, we can get distracted by so many things. But the Lord has the ability to take whatever we have in our mind captive, to just be set our face like flint to the Lord. And I think, I know that I can. I'm guilty of that, but I want to have that heart to just worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And another time that we see worship going on is in chapter 12:12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out. This is a fulfillment of scriptures. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. So this was actually a fulfillment of scripture. But a lot of times when Jesus would, he would always like go away in the midst of, when the people were coming at him. But this time he is actually receiving the worship of the people. He's going in and he is coming in. Jesus comes riding on a lowly foal of a donkey, the most humble and unassuming king in human history. We celebrate every spring, Palm Sunday. Until this point, Jesus had discouraged expressions of support from the people. Here, he allowed public adoration, and this act fulfilled prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. And this was a proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah. The Pharisees called Jesus, and they said they wanted him to rebuke his disciples. But Jesus said, he said this in Luke 19:40, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." This was a fulfillment that had to be done, for the word declared it. God had declared this before the fact that it happened. The disciples did not understand this, but they would when Jesus was glorified. So as we think about this, that all of this, Jesus came in as a humble king on a donkey, coming in, and they're throwing their clothes on the streets. And a lot of the people that were there in Jerusalem were there for the feast. And they came from all over parts of the world, not just the Jews. A lot of the Jews were still in unbelief. A lot of them were pilgrims, but they heard about what he had did to Lazarus, how he raised Lazarus from the dead. So a lot of them were curiosity seekers that wanted to see who this Jesus was, and we're going to see that when we get to the Greeks. But in this particular instance, Jesus is receiving adoration here on earth. Now, there's going to be another time when Jesus comes in the book of Revelation, when he comes not on a colt, but as a victorious warrior, and he's going to be on a white horse. And he's going to be proclaimed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to come back dressed for battle. He'll no longer have this donkey. But he was showing us the humility and humbleness that we need to have in times that we need to have that same heart. We need to have a heart of humility and a heart that is willing to let God be God in the midst of our lives. So with that, with thinking on those things as far as who the Lord is and what he has done in our lives, when the presence of God comes, the Lord has a way of touching his people. The Holy Spirit falls and ministers to our hearts. I wanted to touch a little bit on the seed that falls to the ground. The seed that falls to the ground. Jesus was talking about when the Greeks came, that was a sign to Jesus that his hour has come. And then in verse 23, Jesus answered saying, because the Greeks had inquired of the Lord. They wanted to inquire of the Lord. And they sought to seek him out. And they came and they wanted to, they said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." They had heard about Jesus. The Greeks were, remember, in the outer court of the temple, they had the gate for the Gentiles. So the Greeks would come and visit and the feast, and they would partake in the feast, but they could only come to certain parts of the temple. And so when Jesus heard this, it was a sign to him that his hour had come. He had already known. The hour has, this is in verse 23, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." So right here, the Lord is speaking about himself, that he was going to be that seed that was going to die for the whole world, that he was going to die in our place. He is the one that's going to bear much fruit. It was because of him falling and being crucified and then being resurrected that the Holy Spirit came. And now we too are called to death. when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's a dying that we do each and every day. It's a day-by-day process, a moment-by-moment process. And the Lord calls us to that. He calls us to die to self. And that's, it takes a death, because that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to die continuously to our wants and our desires and the things that we think that when we're wronged, how we need to justify ourselves or how we need to have vengeance. But you know what? The Lord calls us to die to those things, to die to the things of the flesh, so that His Holy Spirit will be manifested within us, because that's what bears fruit. It's not about us, ladies. It's about the fruit that we bear for others. And that is the grain of wheat that falls, because we too have the living Christ within us, living in us and through us, the working of the Holy Spirit that produces that fruit. So we too, when we accept Christ in our life, it's a death to self. It's a death to pride to come to the altar. It's a death when we say, Jesus, I need you. I can't live without you. It's a knowing, the acknowledgement that we can't live without the living Savior living through us and in us. And then in verses 44, he says, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. This is the purpose that the Lord came. He foreknew what was going to happen, right? This was right here at this Passover time. This time right here, the Passover was coming. And you know what? It was going to be a week. It was going to be a week would transpire between this event and when he would be crucified. So he knew he had the 7 days left. He had 7 days left. And we're going to go on into the next chapter, and we're going to see more of that. But at this time, he's speaking to the people. He's speaking to the people that he who believes in me should have everlasting life. And that's the call. That's the command that God had given to the Son, is that he should speak and that he would command this, that we would come to have everlasting life. And, you know, a lot of times when I think about these things, I think about, you know, we all have a burden for our families. We all have burdens for our loved ones. We all have burdens for our friends. But there's so many times when we lose hope in a situation that, you know, we don't see any change. And, you know, I was really blessed yesterday. I have to say, I was really, really blessed. You know, I've been praying for my family now for many years. And at times I see the fruit of God doing a work in their life. And, you know, they've all come to the Lord at one time or another in their life. But it's the day-by-day circumstances that you see them just eating crumbs, and you know they could have so much more. So it's a constant battle of the flesh and the spirit in my home. And yesterday, our family had a get-together that was organized by all the young people, all the young women in my family. They got together and they organized an event. And at first, I wasn't quite sure what this event was going to be about. I kind of questioned it, like, well, it's going to have Jesus going to be there, you know? I wanted to know that there was going to be a message said, that the word was going to go out, that there was going to be prayer, you know, because that's my mentality, you know, I'm wanting to control the situation. But I could see the Holy Spirit just saying, back off. Just back off and let these girls come together as one and do their thing. And so anyway, I didn't know that two of my daughters were going to speak. Anyway, the words that they spoke, I knew that they had Jesus in their heart. I knew that what they were speaking was truth, and they got it. They got the truth. Their lives might, you know, they might struggle every day. You know, they have different issues, whatever, but they know the source. They know where Jesus is. And I just found myself just like I am right now, being so blessed that they know where to go when they're in battle. They know that they need to put their armor on. They know the strength that comes from the Lord. And I was so blessed to hear that. And more importantly, I was so blessed to see it with my eyes, because that's been my prayer, that Lord, I would see before my eyes fruit being born in my family.
And it wasn't just my daughters that I seen it with. I seen it with a lot of the girls. A lot of the girls that spoke about faith that the family has had and the prayer that our family has come together in. And they spoke about a lot of other things, but the things that captured me was their love, their genuine love and honor and respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I think about what may be dead in your family, you know, to me, I would always say heaven wouldn't be heaven without my family being there. You know, I can't even think of heaven without my loved ones being there. And so we're walking in the kingdom of God right now. You know that? We have to live in the fact, even though we don't see those things, we have to believe that they are going to be manifested. And we have to live not in hopelessness, but we have to live in faith with the knowledge that, you know what? God is in control. And he is a faithful God. We're just called to live that life, to produce that life that the Lord calls us to do. And we can't do it in our own strength. It's only through the Holy Spirit working in us and through us that we can manifest any good thing. And that's a word for me. So anyway, I just am praising God for his working of his faithfulness. And I believe that this word is for someone here tonight, that whatever you may think is dead in your life, God has the ability to bring it to life. And we need to look at things the way God looks at things. He doesn't see no dead thing. He sees us as if we're already high in the heavenly places. And we need to look at each other sometimes that way, and we need to look at those things that we hate. You know, like God's going to do a thing. As long as we take it to the Lord in prayer, he's going to be faithful to do it. Amen? So let's go before the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, there was such richness in this whole study. I couldn't even hit all of them, Lord God. But Lord, I pray that you minister your word to your women, Lord God. And I thank you for revealing your truths, Lord, to us. And how, Lord God, you came to give us life. And life abundantly, not just here in the now, but also eternal life. You've called us to that. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, for these women. And, Lord, I pray for any woman here that may not know you, Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that they would know these truths, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that you have called them to have eternal life. So if you're here and you have never accepted Christ in your life, I just pray that you would go before the Lord with your heart, and you can even say a prayer like this. This isn't a prayer that saves you, but it's something that the Lord wants to speak into your life. Or even on the internet, if you're hearing this, I pray that the Lord touches you. So Jesus, I just come before you now, and I acknowledge you that you came here for a purpose and a reason. You came here for me. You came for me to have eternal life, but I need to die, not a physical death, but a spiritual death. So, Lord, I give you my life now, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. And I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I ask you to come into my life and be the Lord and Savior of my life, and that you would rain down healing and fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may have the life that you've called me to have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.